Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Okay, this is the first episode of the Book of Mormon podcast, and we're just going to start right in at the beginning, in the first chapter of the first book. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible at all, the structure of the Book of Mormon will be somewhat familiar to you also. It's a collection of smaller books, and each of those books is divided into chapters and verses. So, 1 Nephi is the first book of the Book of Mormon. There are other books of Nephi, which is why it's called 1 Nephi. And we're just going to dive right in to 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 1. I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught somewhat in all the learning of my father. And having seen many afflictions in the course of my days, nevertheless, having been highly favored of the Lord in all my days, yea, having had a great knowledge of the goodness and the mysteries of God, therefore I make a record of my proceedings in my days. All right, this is a pretty long, complicated sentence, not uncommon for the Book of Mormon. We'll learn why in verse 2. But this is Nephi, the writer, the protagonist. He's introducing himself. He says he had goodly parents. He was taught by his father. He's seen some bad times, but he's been blessed of the Lord, and he's going to make an account of his life. So verse 2, yea, I make a record in the language of my father, which consists of the learning of the Jews and the language of the Egyptians. So it's important to remember, when we have long, complicated sentences like that first sentence, it's because the Book of Mormon is not originally an English text. It is a translation of this ancient language that is some combination of ancient Hebrew and Egyptian. Verse 3, and I know that the record which I make is true, and I make it with mine own hand, and I make it according to my knowledge. So these first three verses are basically Nephi's introduction, why he's writing, what he's writing about, and testifying, these things that I'm about to tell you, I know they're true. Verse 4, for it came to pass in the commencement of the first year of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, my father Lehi having dwelt at Jerusalem in all his days, and in that same year there came many prophets, prophesying unto the people that they must repent, or the great city of Jerusalem must be destroyed. So we're in the first year of the reign of King Zedekiah. This is a name that appears in the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament. We are several hundred years before the birth of Christ here. And Nephi's father Lehi has lived in Jerusalem his entire life, and there's these prophets who are showing up and saying that the people need to repent and turn back to God, or Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Verse 5, wherefore it came to pass that my father Lehi, as he went forth, prayed unto the Lord, yea, even with all his heart, in behalf of his people. And it came to pass that as he prayed unto the Lord, there came a pillar of fire, and dwelt upon a rock before him. And he saw and heard much. And because of the things which he saw and heard, he did quake and tremble exceedingly. So Lehi has this vision. He was praying, he's worried about the people of Jerusalem, and this pillar of fire comes in front of him, and he hears lots of things, and he sees lots of things, and at the end of it, he's shaking. He was not expecting that. Verse 7, and it came to pass that he returned to his own house at Jerusalem, and he cast himself upon his bed, being overcome with the Spirit and the things which he had seen. And being thus overcome with the Spirit, he was carried away in a vision, even that he saw the heavens open, and he thought he saw God sitting upon his throne, surrounded with numberless concourses of angels in the attitude of singing and praising their God. So Lehi goes home, goes to bed. Now he's having this incredible vision. He's seeing God on his throne and the heavenly hosts. Verse 9, and it came to pass that he saw one descending out of the midst of heaven, and he beheld that his luster was above that of the sun at noonday. Sounds like that's probably Jesus. Verse 10, and he also saw 12 others following him, and their brightness did exceed that of the stars in the firmament. Sounds like those are probably the 12 apostles. Verse 11, and they came down and went forth upon the face of the earth. And the first, that's the one we think is Jesus, came and stood before my father, and gave unto him a book, and bade him that he should read. So Lehi is having this amazing vision. Jesus comes to him, gives him a book, says, here, read this. Verse 12, and it came to pass that as he read, he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And he read, saying, woe, woe unto Jerusalem, for I have seen thine abominations. Yea, and many things did my father read concerning Jerusalem. that it should be destroyed, and the inhabitants thereof. Many should perish by the sword, and many should be carried away captive into Babylon. So this is some pretty scary stuff written in this book, but we learn in the next couple verses, there's also some happy stuff written there too. Verse 14, "And it came to pass that when my father had read and seen many great and marvelous things, he did exclaim many things unto the Lord, such as, Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God Almighty. Thy throne is high in the heavens, and thy power and goodness and mercy are over all the inhabitants of the earth. And because thou art merciful, thou wilt not suffer those who come unto thee that they shall perish. And after this manner was the language of my father in the praising of his God. For his soul did rejoice, and his whole heart was filled because of the things which he had seen, yea, which the Lord had shown unto him." So Lehi has this vision that terrible things are going to happen to the city of Jerusalem, but the vision also includes some things that give him a lot of joy and make him just praise God. Verse 16, "And now I, Nephi, do not make a full account of the things which my father hath written, for he hath written many things which he saw in visions and in dreams, and he also hath written many things which he prophesied and spake unto his children, of which I shall not make a full account. But I shall make an account of my proceedings in my days. Behold, I make an abridgment of the record of my father upon plates which I have made with mine own hands. Wherefore, after I have abridged the record of my father, then will I make an account of my own life." So Lehi was a pretty prolific prophet in that he saw lots and lots of visions, and he wrote them all down. And Nephi is saying, I'm going to give you sort of the Cliff Notes version of the stuff my dad did and saw and said, and then I'm going to tell you about my own life and experiences. Verse 18, "Therefore I would that ye should know, that after the Lord had shown so many marvelous things unto my father Lehi, yea, concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, behold, he went forth among the people and began to prophesy and to declare unto them concerning the things which he had both seen and heard." So Lehi has this vision. He sees all kinds of amazing things, both bad and good, and then he goes out to tell the people that they need to repent. Let's see how that goes for him. Verse 19, "And it came to pass that the Jews did mock him because of the things which he testified of them. For he truly testified of their wickedness and their abominations, and he testified that the things which he saw and heard, and also the things which he read in the book, manifested plainly of the coming of a Messiah, and also the redemption of the world." So here we finally get a glimpse of what it was Lehi saw that made him so happy, and it's the coming of Jesus. So he knows that in the immediate future, Jerusalem's going to be wiped out, and horrible things are going to happen to the inhabitants of the city, but sometime in the future, a savior is going to come and bring redemption to humanity. And that is what makes his soul rejoice. That is what gives him the courage and the enthusiasm to go tell this message to people who are mocking and hating the message. Verse 20, "And when the Jews heard these things, they were angry with him, yea, even as with the prophets of old, whom they had cast out and stoned and slain. And they also sought his life, that they might take it away." So they're trying to kill him now. "But behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all those whom he hath chosen, because of their faith, to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance." This, in my mind, is Nephi's thesis. This is why he's writing a book, because he's seen lots of terrible things, like the people of Jerusalem trying to kill his father. But he's also seen that anyone who has faith in God does okay. It doesn't mean life will be pleasant, it doesn't mean life will be easy, but in the end, it'll all work out for the best. And so Nephi is writing this book to encourage us to believe in God, to believe in Jesus, to believe in a Savior. And we're going to get that message a whole lot throughout, not just the book of Nephi, but the Book of Mormon as a whole. In the next chapter, we're going to find out what happens to Lehi and his family now that the Jews are trying to kill him.